This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. Find all things The Ticket at theticketfm.com, all your social medias, anywhere you get your podcasts as well. Also find Carriker Chronicles, CarrikerChronicles.com. Also, YouTube, simply type in Carriker Chronicles. Loaded show today. We got AFC, NFC championship game reactions to give. Nebraska has a major portal visitor coming into Lincoln tomorrow. Big time offensive line transfer portal visitor. Going to talk about Rocco Spindler, give my thoughts on him. And Husker Sports Roundup. Did you know that Nebraska's rifle team set a record and just be outshot the Army rifle team? Jake, that is awesome and terrifying all at the same time. I don't know how you feel about that. We got women's basketball. We got all sorts of sports to catch up on, ladies and gentlemen. But if you didn't know, it's the Adam Carriker Show. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Things could be changing in the near future. We'll see how that all works out. But for now, it's noon to 1 p.m. Central Time here on 93.7 The Ticket. Steve Taylor drops in on Wednesdays, drops his knowledge basically Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Tune in. Here's what you're going to get Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Here's what you're going to hear. You're going to hear Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. What you're going to get is unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Before I start to talk about Nebraska's big-time transfer portal visitor that's coming in tomorrow, I got a question for you fine folks at home. Let me know your thoughts. All right, let me know your thoughts. What is that number they can text into, Jake?
402-464-5685.
All right. I mean, I think Fred Hoiberg's a good basketball coach, but I'm starting to see things here and there. Just lost six in a row. Some of these are like close games. Some of these have been ugly. Just going to ask, is there any reason to believe that Fred Hoiberg's job status might be in trouble in any way, shape, or form? Just let me know. All right, text into the text line. Jake just gave you the number. Also, we like to give away stuff here on the Carriker Show, Adam Carriker Show. Our prize for the daily trivia contest, $100 gift certificate to Automotive Solutions. All right, all you got to do is call in. You'll win. You bring you on air. I'm going to ask you a question that I do have prepared today. All right, all you got to do is call in to win, but bring you on air. Ask you the question. If you can't get it right, maybe Jake can. We'll see what happens. All right, again, the number never changes. Jake just said it, but for fun. What's that number again, Jake?
402-464-5685.
All right, call in, get a free prize, bring you on air. We'll have some fun. Let's talk about Rocco Spindler. All right, offensive lineman from Notre Dame, obviously. They just had a really good season, playing the national championship game. He's coming into Lincoln tomorrow. This is a big dude. This is a guy who can start at center for you. He can start a guard if you wanted to. But you could easily, if he ends up committing and coming, then you've got Rocco Spindler, Henry Litovsky, Justin Evans Jenkins. You got a couple of guys who can snap the ball. You got guys who can play guard. You got Grant Bricks. You got Preston Tomoa, who we've talked about. A couple of redshirt freshmen, four-star, highly recruited guys. Preston's out of Hawaii, one of the top players out of that state. Grant Bricks out of Iowa, one of the top players in the entire country coming out of high school. They can compete for playtime. If nothing else, maybe for the love of all that's holy, we could have some offensive line depth for a change. That'd be nice. Let's just say he comes. All right? Let's say he comes. Then you look at the offensive tackles. You got Elijah Pritchett. You got Gunnar Katula. I mean, Turner Corcoran is coming back. Teddy Prochazka is going to try to come back. There's other guys in that room, too. It's obviously challenging the more injuries you're trying to come back from. Part of me wonders. And actually, I chatted with Sean Callahan earlier today. I've said in the past, I wanted Bryce Benhart to go to guard. When Jake and I chatted on Friday about the O-line, he's like, well, that's the best we had at tackle. We had to leave him there. I always thought Bryce would be a better guard. Give him less space to play in. I feel the same way about Turner Corcoran, and his future in the NFL might be as a guard. But you look, the offensive tackle spots, potentially. All right. Could potentially be Elijah Pritchett, Gunnar Katula. You see what happens with Turner. You see who steps up as a young guy. I guarantee we're not done with transfer portal additions. I mean, for the love of all that's holy, it's January. Is it still January? Is it February yet, Jake?
It's still January.
I always have to keep an eye on February because that's when I'm like, all right, Valentine's Day is coming. Can't drop that ball. All right. So I'm safe for another few days at least. But Gunnar, Rocco Spindler, a little bit about him. And who knows? I have no inside info as to whether he's coming, whether he's not, where he's leaning. I know he's from Michigan. The Wolverines are absolutely on the table as a team he might go to. Okay. He was a four-star coming out of high school, top 100 recruit in the country, started 23 games for the Fighting Irish, played over 1,300 snaps and only allowed 2 sacks. And he's rated the number 6 interior offensive lineman in the transfer portal right now. Now, in a perfect world, you're trying to bring in an offensive tackle. Those positions, it's becoming more and more like the NFL. You watch the NFL draft, it's quarterbacks, guys who can rush the quarterbacks, guys who can protect the quarterbacks, guys who catch balls from the quarterbacks, and guys who cover the guys who catch balls from quarterbacks. Those are the positions that are at a premium. Like, we're talking offensive tackle. You're talking anywhere from $1 to $1.5 to $2 million NIL transfer portal money now. Guards, while important, okay, aren't going to require quite that amount of money. Nebraska's gone after several of the top tackles in the transfer portal. If you think about the top three, Nyjah Pete obviously went to Kentucky, didn't quite get him. We were one of the finalists. You look at Isaiah World. He came here, visited, ended up going to Oregon. Okay, they've got that Phil Knight, Nike money. All right, we did get Elijah Pritchett. I believe he was probably considered to be third out of those top three offensive tackle portal transfers. Most question marks about him, certainly highest ceiling about him as well. So we'll see what happens there. In a perfect world, you're bringing in a tackle. But I've always said you got to bring in somebody. Or somebody from within has to step up. I talked last Friday about how my biggest, in my career in Nebraska, my biggest improvement went from the fall of my true freshman year to that spring in spring practice. And I surprised everybody, including myself, if I'm being honest with you. I shocked myself. I was like, holy crap, I'm not getting pancaked by these dudes. This is amazing. All right, and then I just got better and better and better. So you never know who's going to surprise you. And I look forward to positive surprises. Hopefully we can avoid some of those surprises that aren't so exciting, especially on the injury front, okay? And you know, I look at a guy like Stephon Thompson, a guy that we kind of anticipated coming in, and he started for Tony Wise, a true freshman at Syracuse as a linebacker. He started a couple games here, but didn't work out. Okay, so we want to have less of those and more of the positive surprises is what I'm getting at. All right, Jake, you got any? Okay, because I had you do this Friday. Starting offensive line as is right now. Let's say Rocco Spindler comes in. We don't know if he's going to, but just for kicks and grins, let's say he comes in. Who is then is the starting offensive line? And I want to preface all this by saying nothing should be handed out. Everything should be earned. Spots should be earned. I know how NFL locker rooms operate. The guys who are making the most money are going to get by far the most opportunities. And honestly, that's the way it should be. But at the end of the day, you still got to earn it. I will never forget when Seattle, oh, he was the former LSU quarterback. They signed him to a big contract. Do you remember his name? And then they drafted this little known guy, Russell Wilson, in the fourth round. And he comes in and he earns a starting job with the Seahawks. And that guy played so little, I can't even remember his name now. And Russell Wilson turned into Russell Wilson, and people can kind of poke fun at him now, but he's had a phenomenal career. So my point is, while certain guys will get more opportunities, and I'm completely fine with that, The other flip side of that coin is at the end of the day, you still got to earn it. So who, if he came here, and let's just say the pieces to the puzzle fall as we think they will here in freaking January, who would your starting offensive line be in the fall, Jake?
I think Tavarius Jackson might have been the name, but I'm not sure if that's for sure the Seattle
He played so he lost his job, so I forgot all about it. I'll be honest with you. Russell Wilson made him obsolete.
Yeah.
All right, but go ahead, Jake.
I'll try to keep going with it. But I was a guard short, I think, in my projected offensive lineman the other day. So Rocco Spindler fills in nicely. I think you'd still look at the tackles. I think Gunnar Gutula would still be the option again as currently stands. And then, like you said, Elijah Pritchett would be the other tackle there. Justin Evans you could have at center. And then I think Henry Litovsky and Rocco Spindler would kind of fill it out. But again, there'd be competition kind of behind them. So I think that would be a very good addition. A little short. I know, like you said, maybe the fear or the biggest want is tackle, but some help at guard could certainly help along the way.
Oh, absolutely. At least have some depth. It would really be nice to have some depth. In a perfect world, I've always said 1 to 2 offensive linemen, because if we brought in one, let's make it a tackle, and we got some young, talented freshmen, hopefully one of those two guys can at least compete for a spot, a starting spot, or at least add solid depth. If we're going to bring in an interior guy, when I said one, I was thinking tackle. When I was thinking 1 or 2, tackle and guard or center. Okay, because Justin Evans-Jenkins can play center or guard. That's kind of what I was envisioning. So this, to me, could be an exciting addition if he indeed does come to be a Husker. All right. Championship weekend. I got a whole bunch of Husker sports I want to get to on later in the show as well. Just a heads up. Championship weekend. What were your thoughts on this, Jake? Because I'm looking at a picture here. Kansas City running back Isaiah Pacheco took a picture with Nebraska quarterback Dylan Raiola in the Chiefs locker room.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
All right. And then our defensive line coach, good luck to Coach Braddon. All right. Go get another Super Bowl, my man, before you come join us officially. Tweets out a picture with Dylan Raiola and Dawson Merritt inside the locker room after the game as well. A fan actually sent me this. Okay. And this is Chad Borowski. So shout out to Chad. Apparently he's a Nebraska fan and a Chiefs fan. Here's what he said, and I quote, "It has been so weird being a Nebraska Chiefs fan. You lose all the one-score games on Saturday, and you win all of them on Sundays." A lot of truth to that. You know they won 12 one-score games this year, and they've won 17 overall. 17 one-score games as an overall whole, which is an all-time NFL record. All right, Jake, what are your thoughts on, you know, seeing Dawson and Dylan in the locker room afterwards?
Well, it's cool. And hopefully it's, you know, hopefully that's the future for Dylan Raiola down the line as well. So maybe, you know, something that he can learn from. Obviously, you want to get to the NFL first and then, you know, eventually the Super Bowl. But, you know, it's really cool to kind of see that connection, you know, the Terry Braddon connection as well. We know that Dylan Raiola has had, you know, the same quarterback coaches and in contact with Patrick Mahomes. So not altogether the most surprising to see him at the game, but in the locker room, that's a little bit of an extra kind of cool thing to see there. So, you know, I know it made it kind of rounds on Twitter, and sometimes, you know, the cosplay Mahomes stuff is certainly going to be mentioned there. So it just depends on how you look at it. But again, it's more attention for Nebraska football, for Dylan Raiola, you know, to football fans at whole in a big moment. So I absolutely loved it. And hopefully, again, any small amount of anything you can get from the Chiefs or a Super Bowl team, the dominant team of this era, is good as well. Maybe pick something up. I don't know. Maybe it was something off the ground.
I like that. Pick something up, even if it's just trash off the ground. Any responses to the question I posed earlier or anything from the text line in general there, Jake?
So we've got a text line fight here. Is Matt Flynn the name you're thinking about?
Yes, Flynn. There it is.
But somebody else says Wilson beat Tavarius Jackson his rookie year. So
maybe, were they both in that quarterback room then?
They might have been both brought in. I can't remember.
Flynn was a big contract. That's what I remember.
But in any case, Believer says job should be fine for Hoiberg unless you have a better option. Recycling coaches sucks.
So that's where I go. Okay, I go, okay, that's fine. Maybe you think this guy is or is not the best option. I think Fred Hoiberg is a good basketball coach. And obviously, this has been an insanely rough stretch. You watch, how do you go into Creighton and do what you do to Creighton on their home court, and then you beat a top 15 UCLA team, and then you look how you've looked the last six games. It makes no sense. The worst part about this, this all started with a 15-point lead at Iowa, and it's been downhill ever since. That's the most frustrating thing. But whenever people are like, fire this guy, fire that guy, all right, that's 49% of the equation, because the most important part of the equation, all right, is who's going to be the next coach? Do you have somebody who's going to be equal to, and if they're equal to, why are you making a move, or better than? That's what I always come back to. Like, there was some asinine, not asa-7, not asa-8, asa-9 people last year, fire Matt Rhule. All right, who are you going to bring that's better right now? That was my thought at the time. Okay. I love that there's a text fight. Let me know more about that text. What's going on with the text fight, man?
Oh, they're just arguing between which quarterback it is. But there's a couple other thoughts.
That's too. The argument? Which quarterback?
Which quarterback Russell Wilson beat out that we were trying to think of earlier.
So the guy, so Tavares Jackson may have been in that quarterback room. I don't recall. The guy I was thinking of, because he won the 07 national title at LSU, I'm pretty sure, was Matt Flynn.
Yes, that's right.
And it was Matt Flynn. He had the big contract. And I remember thinking, with all due respect, really? And then you know. He became a guy that has a national championship to his name, but I couldn't think of on today's show. And that doesn't happen too often, if we're being honest. All right, Chiefs, Bills. And we're going to get to the Commanders, a team that I am insanely proud of. They exceeded every single expectation. Yes, they gave up a record amount of points in the NFC Championship game. 55 points by the Eagles is the most amount of points ever given up in an AFC or NFC Championship game in history. I get it. They had way too many turnovers, et cetera, et cetera. They jumped over the pile trying to stop the quarterback sneak on like the 1/10 of a 1,000th millimeter line by the time they had moved the ball half the distance to the goal 15 times. I'm pretty sure Cam Jurgens' like nose was already in the end zone. Okay, I have no problem with that. How is she going to stop that freaking play? They can boo all they want. We're trying to stop something. It didn't work. Nobody stops that play. All right, we're going to get to that later on the show along with some other Husker sports. But when you think about the Chiefs, you think about the Bills. Okay, I thought it was a phenomenal game. If you think about it, the difference is two-point conversions. The Bills went for two twice. That's minus 2 points. The Chiefs went for two once. Got it. The difference was 32 to 29. Now, there was also a couple other differences in there as well. Technically, the Bills actually won the turnover battle. I don't know if people realize that. The Bills did not lose the turnover battle once this year. In 20 games, didn't lose it once. And actually, the Chiefs winning while also losing the turnover battle was the first time all postseason that the winning team in an NFL playoff game lost the turnover battle. Every other team that won an NFL playoff game this postseason won the turnover battle. I thought it was a phenomenal game. The Chiefs are going to go for history. As we all know, three-peat never been done. In fact, the last time a major sports team, major professional sports team, had a three-peat. Jake, you might know this. This isn't the trivia question, but you might notice. It was not in the NFL. I'll just give you that one hint. Do you have any idea who or when it was?
That's good. I'm going to think maybe the Lakers, early 2000s?
Yes, you nailed it. Dude, you are so good at these trivia questions. I'm going to start making the fans go against you. You are really good at this. Although I did find a minor chink in the armor, the NFL, but that's okay. If you ask me about NHL hockey or something like that, I ain't going to know crap. Wayne Gretzky and Alex Ovechkin, that's about all I got for you. All right. If the Chiefs do indeed three-peat, it'll be the first three-peat in NFL history, as we all know, but the first three-peat in major pro sports history since Kobe Bryant and the Lakers did it in 2000, 2001, and 2002. Also, you probably saw this on social media. I think it was either yesterday or the day before, but it was the five-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant and everyone who was in that helicopter that unfortunately went down and crashed. But it was kind of a connection there of Kobe Bryant, but then also what the Lakers did, and then to the Chiefs as well. So are you rooting for the Chiefs to do this? Are you rooting for this, Jake? Do you want them to do it?
It's always hard when you ask me these questions, because when everybody asks you, like, who's your NFL team? My NFL team's the Cardinals. So it's like, who are you cheering for? It's like, well, the Cardinals, but
you've had a rough life, my friend.
Right.
I'm sorry.
So it, but you know, but for you know, being close to Kansas City and growing up most of my life, they might maybe make a wild card or something like that, but they weren't there's not a free agency destination or anything like that. To see it come, you know, this far to be able to make history, I think would be really cool. So I think I haven't completely decided, but I think I might cheer for him.
So here's how I was going into championship weekend. By the way, it's my show, so I'll pat myself on the back. I'm 4-for-4 on championship game picks. I predicted Ohio State and Notre Dame before the college football playoff started to be in the national championship. I mean, once you get there, it's easy to predict Ohio State over Notre Dame. But this was right after the Michigan loss, by the way. 51 days after they lost to Michigan, they won the national title. Exactly. By the way, that's way too long. The NFL, the college football playoff has drug out way too freaking long. Topic for another day. All right. Coming into this week, and then I predicted the Eagles, and I predicted... Actually, did I take the Bills? I took the Bills, so I'm 3-1. Let me correct myself. Yeah. I'm 3-1. I took the Bills over the Chiefs. I said, I don't think they're as good, but the ball's finally going to bounce the opposite way of the Chiefs, and it obviously did not. So I'm 3-1. That's okay. All right. Going into the weekend, I was really okay with three teams winning, and there was one team I didn't want to win. In the NFC, I wanted the Commanders. That do I have to explain? That's my former team. I got a bunch of connections, et cetera, et cetera. You look at the AFC. If the Chiefs win, there's potential history in the aspect of first three-peat in NFL history. First three-peat in major pro sports in almost 25 years. 23 years, I believe. If the Bills win, I grew up watching those Bills team. I remember wide right versus the Giants. I remember them getting just curb-stomped versus the Redskins in 91. I remember the Cowboys in 92, 93. And they actually, if you remember at halftime, they got killed out in Pasadena that first year. Michael Jackson performed at the halftime, all that stuff. But the next year, I forget where it was at, but it was inside a dome. The Bills were either up by three or only down by three. And it was like a game. And then the Cowboys pulled away the second half. You probably know this, but no NFL teams ever gone to four straight Super Bowls. No NFL teams ever lost four straight Super Bowls. So either you were going to have the Chiefs going for a three-peat or the Bills trying to get their first Super Bowl win. And I grew up with all those Bills memories in my head. I love Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, all those guys. Jim Talley, Bruce Smith on defense. I'm not even a Bills fan. I just like that team. And I can I didn't plan on talking about that. All these years later, it's just off the top of my head because I really enjoyed watching those Bills teams. All right, so you were going to have that out of the AFC, so there was no bad option. The only team I didn't want to get in was the Eagles. I got nothing against the Eagles. They're a divisional rival, my former team, the Redskins. I'm like, the Commanders has a great story. The Chiefs have a great story. The Bills have a great story. The Eagles, you already won your Super Bowl. You got over your drought. You're not interesting to me anymore. So I am rooting for the Chiefs, mostly because Midwest, but I want to see something that's never happened before. And if the Commanders were in the game, I would have been rooting for them, but they're not, so I'm rooting for the Chiefs. That's kind of where I'm at. Actually, I'll put that out to the fine folks at home. Are you rooting for the Chiefs? Let us know. We're about to go to break. All right, give them that number again there, Jake.
402-464-5685.
Still never changes. Text in. Let me know. Are you rooting for the Chiefs to three-peat? Yes or no? All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.